Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A blessed Christmas season to all of you, and thanks for tuning us in. Tonight we study the Christmas hymn, What Child Is This? You might be asking, why study a Christmas hymn? Christmas is over. Well, it isn't over. One of the things we'll talk about with Dr. Arthur Jeffs tonight as we study this hymn is Christmas as a season rather than merely a day. The hymn poses a very important question. What child is this that lays in Mary's lap? It answers the question, too. Nails and spear shall pierce him through the cross. Be born for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. We'll study this hymn tonight on Issues Etc. Now, you can study this hymn along with us. All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find the words to What Child Is This? issuesetc.org. Dr. Arthur Just is a regular guest, professor of New Testament, and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Luke Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, and author of the Concordia Commentary series, volume on Luke as well. Dr. Just, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's a delight to be with you and a very Merry Christmas.
So many Christians here in America celebrate Christmas as merely a day. Why is it important that we observe Christmas as a season?
Well, Christmas is more than a day. It is even more than a season, the 12 days of Christmas. It's a whole period of time that goes back really deep into the ancient church's life as a means of celebrating one of the two great scandals of Christianity from the perspective of the world. And that is the scandal of the fact that God becomes flesh, which is the celebration of Christmas, and that this God who becomes flesh is crucified on a cross outside Jerusalem, which is, of course, at the heart of the Easter season. Christmas is preceded by Advent, as many people know, and Christmas is more than anything else the celebration of the fact that in the Christ child, the birth of light is born into a darkened world. Now, going back to the very beginning, we don't know what day Christ was born on, but early Christians celebrated it on December 25th for two reasons, and I think this gets into the whole idea that Christmas is more than just a day. The ancient world had a huge festival in December called the winter solstice, called the Saturnalia, in which they observed the fact that the days had reached kind of their climax of dark, and the birth of the light was now with the turning of the solstice. And Christians recognized that they were, in a sense, tempted by this feast, living in the world in which they lived, and they thought they needed to counter with another feast. And they recognized that since this is about light, they had the true light, the light of Christ, and that they were going to celebrate the dawning of this light. Now, the darkened, you know, world is a very powerful image in the ancient world, and the birth of this light really did send a message that the true light of the world, the one who darkens the deepest recesses of our sinful life, is Christ himself. But there's another reason, too, that goes hand in hand with this. And this goes back to a very, very interesting way in which the ancient world understood birth and death. Nobody knew when anybody was born. That just was never recorded, even great emperors. But they did record when they died. That was a day to recognize. And the ancient church thought that Jesus died on March 25th. That was the date of the crucifixion. That was also in the pagan world the beginning of the creation of the world. So you've got this sense of the ancient world, you know, from a pagan point of view, seeing this as the birth of the world, and the ancient church seeing this as the death of Jesus. Well, what everybody did, Christians and pagans alike, is if this is the day you died, then this must have been the day that you entered the world. And we're not talking about birth, we're talking about conception. So the conception of a person and the death of a person was put on the same day. So that was considered March 25th to be the day Jesus was conceived, which is why we celebrate the Annunciation of the angel to Mary in Nazareth on the March 25th. And then you count 9 months later, and you've got Christmas, December 25th. Now, what that did in the ancient mind was that connected, and I'm talking about the church here, that connected the incarnation, the birth of Jesus, and the death of Jesus, which is why, from the beginning, the first Sunday in Advent is about Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. Christmas is about the fact that Jesus is born to die, and that the first death is, in a sense, the death of darkness and the dawning of the light. And Christmas was one of the most powerful periods of time, prepared for by Advent, celebrated for 12 days after the celebration of his birth on December 25th, and then the ongoing manifestation of Jesus as the light of the world during Epiphany. So Advent, Epiphany, and Christmas are all one season, in a sense, all one period of time, of which Christmas is just, in a sense, the climax. So we as Christians who celebrate a deeply and profoundly theological church year see Christmas as, in a sense, a whole almost state of mind as much as just a single day.
How important is the question that this hymn we're going to study, What Child Is This, the question that it poses and its answer, Dr. Just?
Well, the question, What Child Is This, is the whole reason why the Gospels were written. Who is this Jesus? And the fact that he comes into the world first in the womb of the Virgin Mary, nurtured there like any child is, and then born in the humble circumstance that we obviously hear about in Matthew 1 and Luke 2, and which this hymn celebrates with such profound and beautiful poetry, this is the question of the whole reason the New Testament was written. Who is Jesus? What child is this for us in this Christmastide?
The first stanza of the hymn we're studying tonight, What Child Is This? What child is this who, laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping?
Dr. Just, 30 seconds before our break, for a response, when it says Christ the King, what's different about this King laying in Mary's lap?
This King's coronation is on a cross, and his crown is a crown of thorns, and his kingdom comes only through suffering and death. That is the difference of this King from any other King.
We're talking with Dr. Arthur Just tonight, studying the Christmas hymn during this Christmas season, What Child Is This? Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Luke Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, and the Luke Commentary and the Concordia Commentary series as well. When we come back, some more thoughts from our guest on the first stanza of What Child Is This? Every one of the refrains ends with the same words, which people might think of mere historic interest. The babe, the son of Mary, But why is the humanity of Jesus, that he is Mary's son and God's son, why is it so important to emphasize and to know and believe during this Christmas season and all seasons of the year that this child, who is Christ the King, is the son of Mary, is fully human? A very down-to-earth Christmas hymn in a season when many people think Christmas is all about ethereal ideas and otherworldly realities. The reality of heaven has broken in to our world in the babe, the son of Mary. We'll talk more about that on the other side.
We give thanks for the folks at LCMS World Relief because they are the hands and the feet that allow many people to reach out in charity and love to those who are less fortunate than we.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Arthur Just on the importance of LCMS World Relief.
In the Gospels, Jesus says that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And spending out his life for us on the cross is how he served us. Because Christ is in us, and we embody him in his mercy and love, we are to manifest that in our lives. And LCMS World Relief does exactly that, by reaching out with concrete expressions of Christ's love, mercy, and compassion to those who have been broken by storm and tempest, who, for whatever reason, need the kind of love and compassion that is in us because Christ is in us.
For more information or to donate to LCMS World Relief, call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you. We're studying the hymn, What Child Is This, tonight with Dr. Arthur Just. Folks, hymn studies are not really something that you're going to hear very often on the radio, but they are a regular part of Issues Etc. Now, if you enjoy these hymn studies, consider partnering with us by making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. For a year-end donation of $50 or more, we'll send you a CD of my Christmas sermon, When the Fullness of Time Had Come. Now, you can donate by check. Just write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. By credit card, our resource line number is 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. You can also donate online, issuesetc.org. Remember, no gift is too small, and thanks in advance for thinking of us in these final days of 2007. Dr. Just, you have a forthcoming book called Heaven on Earth. It goes nicely with our conversation tonight. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it does, Todd. It's I think, a book that, in fact, that what I just spoke about in terms of the season of Christmas and Advent and Epiphany is described in that book a little bit. It's, in a sense, a description of how our worship, our liturgical life, is the moment in which, in Christ, because of his bodily presence among us, heaven and earth are joined together in him. So when we gather to worship, we're in that kind of in-betwixt and in-between time. We are certainly on earth, but in Christ, we are also in heaven. And that means that, you know, we don't worship alone. We worship with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, as our liturgy says. And that what we receive, and this is the subtitle of the book, because Christ is present bodily among us, we receive the gifts of Christ in the divine service. And as Lutherans, who echo Martin Luther's small catechism. Those gifts are the forgiveness of sins, first and foremost, where we are released from the bondage of our guilt and our shame by being, you know, set free from our sins. God remembers them no more. We are given his life, a life that never ends, starts in the font. And there's a sense there that that's where heaven on earth begins for us. We are joined to the heavenly one. So we get death over with in the font and now enter a life that never ends, which is Christ's life, because we are now in Christ and Christ is in us. And that we are rescued, salvation. We are rescued from our enemies. And the enemies we know are sin, death, and the devil. And by being joined to Christ and receiving that ongoing presence in the liturgy, we are equipped, as Paul says, with the armor that we need to fight these enemies and be rescued. And it's not us who do the fighting, it's the Christ who is in us. So these are extraordinary gifts. These are the only gifts that matter. And the liturgy is all about this, and very much the kind of hymn that we are talking about today describes these gifts in such beautiful poetic language.
Folks, keep listening, because Dr. Jest's forthcoming book, Heaven on Earth, will be one of our Issues Etc. Books of the Month in 2008. Dr. Jest, this is a very down-to-earth. You're really down there at Christ's birthplace, eye-to-eye with Mary, and it is, in many ways, somewhat odd, or at least it sounds odd, that every refrain in this hymn says, "This is the babe, the son of Mary." Why is that so important?
Well, the incarnation, which is, of course, when we see God taking flesh, and he is now bearing our humanity, is the way in which God shows us what it means to be true and fully human. He shows us what he created us to be before the fall into sin. And that is to be without sin, to be perfect in every way. Christ is the one who shows us what that really looks like. But in order to do that, he must assume our humanity from the beginning. And that he does come through the natural process of birth that all of us came through, and that he is born a child, a helpless child, who lies sleeping, as the beginning of the first verse says, in the lap of his mother Mary. This is a child. This is a babe. And one of my absolutely, I think, the most stunning moment in the Christmas story in Luke 2 is that the sign to us that God has taken flesh is the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now that body of Jesus, that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, will be taken down from a cross and wrapped in cloth bands. The swaddling clothes are absolutely significant. It's the way in which all children were wrapped. But it means that our Creator, our Redeemer, is like all children, wrapped in swaddling clothes. 33 years later, that same body is wrapped in cloth bands, like any dead body is. And yet 3 days later, in Luke's Gospel, Luke 24, verse 12, those cloth bands are a sign of the resurrection, because Peter runs to the tomb and he sees only the cloth bands. One of the ways in which we can really appreciate the fullness of God's revelation to us in Christ is to follow the body of Jesus. What happens to it? It's lying in the lap of Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes. It's taken down from a cross. Incarnation and atonement, and then those cloth bands are no longer wrapping that body because it's risen from the dead. The magnificence of our faith is that Jesus is the babe, the son of Mary.
Stanza 2 of What Child Is This asks and answers another question. Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians, fear, for sinners here the silent word is pleading. Nails, spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding?
Would creation's fearful spirits hear the silent word he
Dr. Jess, we have a minute before our next break. Some people would say, this is a happy occasion, the birth of Jesus. Why bring in the nail and the spears and the cross and the suffering?
I began by saying that Christmas is the season in which we see that the child is born to die. And this hymn so beautifully illustrates that in the second verse. We can sometimes be overcome by the sentimentality of the child wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. But that child must go to the cross. And that is the whole purpose of the incarnation. That's the whole purpose behind Christmas. Already at Christmas, we are looking ahead to Good Friday and Easter.
Talking with Dr. Arthur Just, studying the hymn tonight on Issues Etc. What Child Is This? When we come back, there are words in that second stanza that also need further explanation. The hymn writer says, good Christians fear, for sinners hear, the silent word is pleading. It echoes what is said so often, and later in that same stanza, the word made flesh, drawn directly from John's gospel, his account of Christ's birth. And other words, very important words to consider here tonight, from the second stanza of this hymn. We'll do it on the other side of this break. The words, for me, for you. We'll be right back.
Why not send a high school age man from your congregation to Taste of the Sim, January 19th through the 21st, on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Taste of the Sim gives high school men the opportunity to experience seminary life. For more information on Taste of the Sim, January 19th through the 21st, at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, visit the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call 1-800-822-9545.
When the fullness of time had come, a Christmas sermon preached by Todd Wilkin.
The most important event in your life didn't even happen in your lifetime. It happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus' perfect death for sinners at the cross.
And we'll send you a CD of this Christmas sermon for a tax-deductible year-end gift of $50 or more to Issues Etc. Donate today, issuesetc.org, or 1-800-737-0172. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. as we approach the end of 2007.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Carl Fakincher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on good reasons to become a pastor.
Before I went to the seminary, I worked in business for a number of years, and I enjoyed very much what I was doing, but I realized that the aspects of my jobs that I appreciated the most certainly were the opportunities to be helpful and encouraging and supportive of the people who worked with me. And it was quite clear to me, without any question, that the way I could be most helpful to them was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, their Savior. And I realized that if I became a pastor, that would be what I'd do all the time, and I would never be restricted in any way in what I could say. The help that I could bring to people that I cared about would be the help that was not just for today or tomorrow, but eternal.
To schedule an on-campus visit at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, call 1-800-481-2155.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
As we approach the end of 2007, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. This worldwide outreach is listener-supported. We're not affiliated with the Lutheran Hour or the Lutheran Layman's League. You can donate by credit card, our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. By check, write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, anyone who contributes $50 or more to Issues Etc. before the end of the year will receive a CD of a Christmas sermon I preached titled When the Time Had Fully Come. 1-800-737-0172, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or issuesetc.org. This is Todd Wilkin. Thanks for your support this year. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're studying the hymn tonight with Dr. Arthur Just. What Child Is This? I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Just is Professor of New Testament and Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Before we go on with our conversation, Dr. Just, why should a man consider the vocation of pastor?
Todd, tonight we are talking about the importance of the question that all of us need to answer for ourselves. What child is this? And that's what the Office of the Public Ministry does. It proclaims who this child is. It proclaims it in preaching and teaching, in pastoral care. It is the heartbeat of the church in terms of announcing to the world that this child is Jesus, the Savior and Redeemer of all sins, the one who has come to rescue us from the devil, the one who has come to share his divine life with us. The study for the Office of the Public Ministry is one of the great vocations that a man can consider in helping others to be joined to Christ, to be in communion with him. We believe that people come to faith by hearing the Word of God and that the Spirit works through that Word. At the heart of the proclamation of that word is the pastoral office. And the pastoral office leads people to believe and confess that this child is, in fact, the babe, the son of Mary.
Now, the men listening to us, if you've ever considered studying for the pastoral ministry, go to our website tonight, issuesetc.org, and you'll find out more about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, where they're preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. The words from this second stanza, Dr. Just, "For sinners here the silent word is pleading." What does this mean?
Well, if you go to the beginning of the stanza, the author, William Dix, puts us in the humility of it all, the mean estate where ox and ass are feeding. Here in this babe, you have the creator of the universe who has the power to recreate, and part of that recreation is the forgiveness of sins. And he does it by his death, which is the last part of the hymn, nails, spear, pierce him through the cross, he be born for me, for you. Now, why does he do that? Because we are sinners, and we need somebody to intercede for us, somebody to do what we cannot do. And that's what this silent word, namely, a child who yet cannot speak, is already in his incarnation, pleading for us before the Father, that on account of his death, on account of his substitution for us, we are not to be declared guilty, but we are to be declared whole and pure and righteous because we are in him. This is why we fear. It's old Psalm 130. We fear those who have the power to forgive, to declare righteous, to set us free. Like we fear a judge in this world, you know, who can either declare us guilty to go to prison or to set us free so that we can, you know, live a life of complete and total, you know, freedom in this world. In this little child, we see the power of the entire cosmos to be restored and recreated through his body. His body that must be nailed and pierced. His body that must be placed on a cross. And this is such wonderful language for me and for you, which means for everybody, because everybody is broken. Everybody is a ragamuffin. Everybody is completely incapable of saving themselves. They need this child, this babe born of Mary, to do it for them.
The third stanza of What Child Is This? So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary.
So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him.
Dr. Jess, that third stanza begins with a word grammatically that requires that you go back and look at the first and second stanza. It begins with the word so. What's important between what we've heard so far in this hymn and what this final stanza calls forth from us?
This final stanza declares him as the king. And so what we do now, in light of what we heard in the first two stanzas, is that we worship him as a king. And as I said earlier, the irony, in a sense, the great paradox of this king is that he is enthroned on a cross, and that in his suffering he shows us the glory of God.
The allusion here is, of course, to the visit of the Magi,
yes,
which is almost kind of a capstone in the whole narrative of Luke's gospel, and Matthew brings it in too, to this arrival of the king that no one save shepherds and Mary and distant men from the east seem to truly understand what it means this kind of king has come into the world. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, one of the things I didn't mention before, but it's really interesting, William Dix wrote this hymn for the Epiphany. which actually is now the beginning of, in a sense, a new part of the church year, and yet very much connected to Christmas. And the coming of the kings to worship him indicate very clearly now that this is the King of Kings, that this is the King of the entire creation. And the obeisance, the worship, the gifts that these kind of human worldly kings bring to this both worldly and divine king indicate that this is unlike any other king that has ever lived. That this is the climactic moment in the history of the world, and that his kingdom, as he himself says, is not of this world, even though it is ushered in this world. This is the great paradox, the great mystery of heaven on earth, of this king being both an earthly king and a heavenly king. And we are called, as those who are in him, to come and worship him in this Christmas season.
There's a juxtaposition, or at least it sounds to my ears like there is, both in the stanza and in the way we heard it portrayed in our recording, raise, raise the song on high, and the virgin sings her lullaby.
Yeah.
You're up there with the angels, but he never lets you take your eyes off of the reality of this birth in human flesh.
Yes, and what I love about this hymn is that little statement, the virgin sings her lullaby, takes us back to the very first verse. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? I mean, we see this child in her lap sleeping, and what is she doing? She's singing her lullaby, but she's doing it in the context of the song of the angels that are coming to sing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The song of Mary is part of the cosmic song, which is the song of joy. Joy is what the season is about. Joy that Christ has come. And this hymn is also based on Philippians 2, which is one of the great epistles of joy. And the hymn there in Philippians 2 is the hymn of the Incarnation, which kind of redounds to the rejoicing of all of creation that it is now being restored, recreated, redeemed in this child. It's not just humanity that is filled with joy, but everyone is filled with joy. All people, all things, all of creation, like the Psalms say, are rejoicing and praising God that he has come to release it from its bondage in this child born of Mary.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. 10 more minutes on the other side of this break as we study the hymn during this Christmas season, What Child Is This? Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for December, is trying to clear up a little misunderstanding of history. It's called Lutherans Against Hitler, The Untold Story. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You can find out more about Lutherans Against Hitler at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Lutherans Against Hitler, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for December. When we come back, we'll conclude our study of this hymn, What Child Is This? We'll also hear the entire hymn and get some final thoughts by our guest, Dr. Arthur Just, Professor of New Testament, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Join Issues Etc. as we broadcast live from the annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's January 15th through the 18th. For a complete list of speakers, symposia schedule, or to register online, check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2241. It's the symposia, January 15th through the 18th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne.
Is it true that Lutherans responded passively to Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is titled Lutherans Against Hitler, The Untold Story. You can read an excerpt on our website, issuesetc.org, or find out more about Lutherans Against Hitler by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutherans Against Hitler by Dr. Lowell Green, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues Etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His Word firmly and faithfully. Issues Etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Welcome back. We're studying the Christmas hymn, What Child Is This? I'm Todd Wilkin, our guest, Dr. Arthur Just. Dr. Just, before the break, you made mention of something that I think is echoed in many Christmas hymns, and that is the rejoicing, the welcome cry of both heaven and earth. It's right there in Luke's narrative of Christ's birth as well, that all of creation rejoices to see the incarnation come to its fulfillment in Christ's birth. Talk about that briefly.
Well, you know, Paul talks about all of creation groaning until it is redeemed. And I think one of the ways in which you can, in a sense, picture the incarnation in your mind is that Jesus is, I mean, like Luke says in chapter 24, he's like an alien, like a stranger who comes from another world. And the incarnation is, in a sense, like an invasion. I call it an apocalyptic invasion. Apocalyptic meaning a revelation that comes from this almost invasive, violent act of Jesus coming from heaven and breaking into our earth. Now when that happens, what we see happening is that the one who created the world is now breaking back into it in order to recreate it. And the world is physically affected by that. As you can see at the crucifixion, where there's darkness and earthquakes, and the whole cosmos, in a sense, seems to be coming unglued because it's being recreated. This is a reason for all of creation to rejoice, because it is groaning, it is broken, it is dark, it needs to be restored, it needs to be recreated, it needs complete and total renewal, and it is only through the Creator that such a thing can happen. And when it senses, like John the Baptist in the womb, when, you know, Jesus is in the womb of Mary and John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth, he's the first sign of the new creation. He can't help but jump in the womb because he knows that the Creator has come to recreate his creation. And this is a reason for joy. That's what he's doing. He's leaping for joy. And the hymns of Elizabeth and Mary are joyful because God has come in the flesh to make all things new. There's that wonderful scene from the Passion of the Christ where Jesus is in that square and his mother comes up to him in his agony. And he doesn't say this in the Gospels. This is a statement from Revelation, but he turns to her and he says, "Mother, you know, I am making all things new. Don't cry. This is how I'm making all things new, through this death." But it begins with the incarnation, and creation knows it. Heaven knows it. The angels know it, and they can't help but burst into incredible songs. That's why Christmas is the season of these magnificent carols, because we can't help but sing when we know that God has come to restore us back to what He created us to be.
Let's hear the entire hymn, the subject of our study tonight. What Child Is This?
What Child? Oh,
the hymn, What Child Is This? Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Dr. Just, your final thoughts on this Christmas hymn during this Christmas season.
Christmas is the time where the hymn tells us, we come to Bethlehem, to the manger with haste, to bring him praise, because this babe, the son of Mary, has come to us to save us. And at the manger, we hail him, hail, hail, the Word made flesh, because he is, in fact, the very one who is heaven brought to earth, this babe, the son of Mary. And because we do this, we have joy, the joy of all creation, that Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, is born for us, for you and for me, to stand before the Father and to plead with him that his blood washes us clean and makes us whole, and the whole creation too.
Here's our mailing address, box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, and our website address, issuesetc.org. Use any of those to receive a free copy of our next Issues Etc. journal, or to make a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. For a year-end gift of $50 or more, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas sermon I preached, titled When the Fullness of Time Had Come. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, 1-800-737-0172, or issuesetc.org. Dr. Arthur Just is Professor of New Testament and Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Luke Commentary in the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, the Luke Commentary in the Concordia Commentary series, and of a forthcoming book, Heaven on Earth. Dr. Just, thank you so much for being our guest.
It was my delight, Todd. And again, I wish a very Merry Christmas to all your listeners and a Happy New Year.
And to you as well.
Thank you.
Heaven comes to earth. Well, all sorts of religions and mythologies and stories involve something like that, don't they? The gods come down. They look around. They observe man. But this story is more than merely a story. This is history. This really is the hinge of all history. This is the purpose that God has intended from before the foundation of the world, that in the person of his son, he might become man. And as the hymn writer so beautifully says, the cross be born for me, for you. This birth is a birth for a purpose, that is, to prepare a sacrifice to be made at the cross, a sacrifice the blood of which atones for the sins of the whole world, a death that brings life, not just old life, but new life, divine life, to a dead and darkened world and a dead and fallen humanity. We witness the new creation, beginning here with this birth. It all begins again, right there in the lap of the Virgin Mary, where the sacrifice, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, lies sleeping, awaiting his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, awaiting the new creation for us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Noted author and English professor Dr. Gene Edward Veith on why he joined the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
In my spiritual journey, I've been a mainline Protestant liberal. I flirted with Eastern mysticism, and I've been involved with American evangelicalism. But it was through the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod that I discovered what the grace of God really means, what Jesus really accomplished for me on the cross, and how, in his word and sacraments, Jesus really comes into my life. A lot of people are looking for the right church, one that has a theological substance and a depth that is sometimes hard to find in American Christianity. Some of them are looking in all different kinds of directions, and they're really looking for is Lutheranism.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? 1-800-737-0172.